Today I want to start our Faith on Film series. We're going to be talking about Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. This movie was so terrible it didn't even stay in theaters long enough for me to see. But before we get started, I want you to think about the question, do good people do good things and do bad people do bad things? Turn to someone right next to you and answer that question. Do good people do good things and bad people do bad things? Some of you might have to turn around to do it. All right. So did you all come up with a good answer? They each do both, right? Because first of all, what makes a person good or bad? What makes their actions good or bad? How do we decide? Do you do bad things? So does that make you a bad person? Today we're going to be talking about motives and the motives that God wants us to have. And the movie again is Diary of Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. And so here's the synopsis of the movie. Greg Heffley, who's the main character, formulates a plan to use a road trip that they're going to go see his great-grandma Meemaw's house for her 90th birthday party as a way to get to a video game convention that he wants to go to. And so he's telling everybody it's all about Meemaw and going to her party, but really he's trying to use the trip to get to this video game convention where his idol is making a run at a world record. And so I want us to think about the motives, because it sounds like he has pure motives to his family, because he's talking about Meemaw, right, in the 90th birthday party. But really his motives are not pure. He really wants to just get to that video game convention. So obviously it's much more complicated than the question of, do bad people do bad things and good people do good things? And so my question to you is, do motives matter? Do your motives matter when you're doing something, either good or bad? And do the ends justify the means? Here's some things to think about. A man's son will die without a $500,000 operation. So he robs his large business employer to pay for the operation and the son lives. Does the end justify the means? Look at the television show 24. They're constantly kidnapping someone or hijacking someone and saying, unless you do what I want you to do, this illegal act, then I'm going to kill your loved one. A wealthy business person gives $1 million to a charity. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, what if you find out that the person really just needs a tax break or needs good publicity for their firm? A mom wants to get funding for a special needs son, and the insurance company initially denies her coverage. But then she goes and tries to befriend the agent and becomes friends with her and spends time with her and develops a relationship with her to try to get favor from her. A student wants to get into a good college, so mom and dad start contributing to the alumni association or befriending admissions counselors. A company wants to get regulations cut in their industry, so they start contributing to a political party or a candidate. A guy wants a date with a girl, so he buys her flowers and sends her a love letter. Motives. Do they matter? Do your motives matter? According to our government and justice system, they do, because you can be prosecuted more harshly if it's considered a hate crime. Based on the motive that you did something, it can be classified a hate crime and you can be punished more severely. So the big question, again, is, do your motives matter and are they pure? Because as we'll discover today, God does care about your motives, and pure motives matter to God. Now, as I was researching this, I found Match.com came up with 5 bad reasons to get married. And if you got married, if you've ever been married, you had reasons for getting married. And these are 5 reasons that are not good, according to Match.com, to get married. To improve your financial situation. Yeah. Because you've reached the marriage age. To save your relationship. You want to tie down your partner. Or you feel that you owe it to your long-term partner. Obviously, all not great reasons to get married, right? We all have a reason why we got married, if we did get married. And hopefully it wasn't one of the five on the list. And if it was, I'm available for counseling later. No. But getting married in and of itself is not a wrong act, right? That can be a very good thing. It can be a very godly thing. But our motives matter when we do things. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching, and he talks about motives. And in verses 1 to 4, he says this. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired for others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Jesus is saying that when you are giving, your motives matter. So why do you give? Do you give for the fame or the prestige? Or do you give because the Lord has told you to give and you're being obedient to Him? This passage indicates that our eternal reward for giving is based on our motives for giving. Not just the fact that we were obedient to giving, because obviously giving is not a bad thing. But our motives for giving do matter when it comes to how we will be rewarded by God. And pure motives matter to God. Jesus continues talking about motives in the same passage when he talks about prayer. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When praying, your motives matter. When it comes to prayer, how we pray is just as important as what we are praying for. Are we praying so that people will see us praying, so that people can say, oh, wow, that is a real prayer giant. That person is really, needs to put up on a pedestal. Or are we praying because we want to have communion with God, and God wants us to pray, and so we're developing our relationship? Jesus says that the reward for prayer is found in the person whose motives is pure. Are we praying for the right thing at the right time in the right way with the right motivation? Because pure motives matter to God. He continued talking about motivation when it comes to fasting. He says in verses 16 to 18, and when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When fasting, your motives matter. Some people fast for the glory of saying, oh my gosh, he's fasting. What a great guy. But if that's the reason that you're fasting, just so that other people will admire you because you're fasting, Jesus says that is your reward. If you're doing things so that other people notice you and so that people will feel a certain way about you in your spiritual life, then that is your reward, Jesus says. If you want a true reward, then you need to fast so the Father sees you fasting, and so it's not for everyone else. Pure motives matter to God, and when fasting, your motives matter to God. Christian author Gene Edwards wrote this, many pray for the power of God, more every year. Those prayers sound powerful, sincere, godly, and without ulterior motive. Hidden under such prayer and fervor, however, are ambition, a craving for fame, the desire to be considered a spiritual giant. The person who prays such a prayer may not even know it, but dark motives and desires are in his heart. I don't agree with him that all prayers seeking out the power of God have ulterior motives, but some might, and it's something to think about. When we're praying for even the godly things, what is our motivation? Why are we praying for God's power? If our motives matter to God, which they do, then we need to make sure that we're taking the matter of our hearts as the number one issue. If we're not right with God in our heart, if we're not reading His Word, if we're not praying to Him, if we're not developing and deepening our relationship with God, then our hearts can't be right with God. And our motives need to be examined for everything that we're doing. When we pray, when we petition God, we need to be asking from the right motivation as well. James 4:3 says, "And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." Doesn't that sound like culture today? Whatever makes me happy, that's what I've got to do. Maybe that was a reason, bad reason for marriage too, because you think it's going to make you happy. If pleasure is what you seek, which is, now I'm not saying that marriage isn't a happy thing, as I'm seeing some of you laugh and like, you can be very happy in marriage. I'm very happily married. Please tell my wife. But really, if pleasure is all that you seek, which is the American way, right? Pleasure above all else, then you're not going to receive what you're asking for because it's not from the Lord. Two verses in Proverbs address this matter. Proverbs 16:2 says, "People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives." And Proverbs 20:27 says, "The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive." You cannot hide your motives from God. He sees you as you are, like the children's message said today. Even if you can't see God, God can see you. And He knows why you are doing something. So don't try to fake it. Do things sincerely and with honesty to who you are and who God is. Because God knows your motives. And if you're questioning your motives, make that a matter of prayer. Pray to the Lord that you're asking for things from the right motives, and He will answer that prayer. Mother Teresa said, "If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives, but be kind anyway." No matter what job you have, no matter what task you've been given in life, we need to make sure that we're being kind. And even if we're accused of having ulterior motives, we need to make sure that our motives are pure before the Lord. In Colossians, Paul writes this to the slaves. He says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ." So no matter what we're doing in life, whatever our job is, whatever our occupation is, our motives need to be that we're doing it as unto Christ, as if He was our master, our boss, our employer. Now you may say, "Well, you don't know my boss." Okay? Paul's writing to slaves and telling them, as a slave, this is what you're to be doing. You may sometimes feel like you slave, but you're free. This word goes to all of us. No matter what we're doing, who we're doing it for, our motives need to be doing it as if we are doing it to the Lord. If slaves were still to do their work as unto the Lord, what gives us a right to do anything less? Pure motives matter to God. Say that with me. Pure motives matter to God.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.